25.
It's a lot of walking. Just going downstairs, my legs are slight. Because I'm not eating enough or drinking enough. I don't think I'm drinking enough water, but I'm walking like 10 miles a day. You know, I've lost like 8 pounds this first week. Yeah, that's a lot. Then my body gets to a certain number and it says, you're done. You ain't losing no more. So I got home last night and I was cool, but then I woke up this morning feeling kind of crappy. But I'm going to give you what I got. Amen?
Amen.
Stand with me. Let's get it in. Praise the Lord. Woo! Genesis 41:37. Let's run it. Amen when you have it. Sister Celeste, can you shut those doors for me, please?
He's teaching the babies.
Yes, 41:37. And bear with me if I'm scatterbrained, please. I'm like, for real, I'm extremely tired. But I'm going to be all right. Amen?
Amen.
41:37. You have it? Amen?
Amen.
Let's do it. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such as one as this, a man whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto the word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and he put it on Joseph's hand, and he arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and made him ruler over all of the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him his wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And Joseph went over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout the land of Egypt. Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
I read a lot. I usually don't read this much in scripture. I usually just kind of give a little glimpse and then I'll bring it all out. But I'm not sure how long I will be preaching, but I'm going to get to some key points because there's something that the Lord's been dealing with me with personally, but I believe that is something collectively. Amen?
Amen.
So when you look at what's transpiring in this scripture, Joseph's being elevated.
Ooh,
hallelujah. Joseph, he's being elevated. He's going from one position to another position. Amen? So what transpires in his life was really what we call an evolution. An evolution is basically a level. There's levels to his walk. There was levels to what transpired in his walk. He didn't just wake up and go straight to the second in the king in command. He had to go through a process, amen? And that same process that he had to go through and that he had to endure is the same process that we also have to go through, amen? So I want to talk about the evolution of a saint. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, let your anointing fall. Fall on our ears. Fall on your word. Fall on this sanctuary right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We glorify you. We praise you. And everybody say once again,
amen.
Amen. Thank you all. You may be seated. So, I pray like earlier in the week, like, Lord, I need something to preach Sunday coming around. And thank you, brother, for being prepared. You thought you was preaching today, huh? Brother Eric went out there, he was preaching. I started to let him preach, too. But I'll just say mine the next Sunday. I'll be better than it. But I felt the Lord begin to tug at me about Joseph this morning when I was cutting my hair and then, you know, getting ready to come to service. He said, I asked him, I was like, because the scripture that he had laid on my heart, or it really wasn't a scripture, but he was talking about basically what I've just defined as evolution. And I was like, Lord, what character in the Bible went through a process of evolution that really we can all relate to? Amen. And the Lord, before I could even finish getting the question out, he threw out there, Joseph. And when you think about Joseph, Joseph was favored by his brothers, by his father, and his brothers were jealous of him. He went through a lot as a young man, amen? But it was all because of the anointing that was in his life. See, some of you have anointings that's on you right now. Hallelujah. I'm speaking to you young people as well. Some of you have anointings and giftings that you don't even understand the magnitude of what God has deposited it in you. You don't understand the magnitude of what God has gifted you with. But there's people that are also attached to you who don't understand it either. The Lord began to speak to me. And he says, the thing about church people is we get complacent, right? We get used to our walks of life. Well, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to pay my bills. I'm going to get a car. I'm going to get a house, right? We're always talking about getting, attaining, right? Am I preaching to somebody? Y'all looking at me like you're ready to go to sleep, and I want to go to sleep. So you can't be sleepy, and I want to go to sleep, right? We can't do that right now, right? I'm going to need you to wake up and talk to me back. Talk back to me, right? See, we always trying to get something else, right? We got enough, but we always find something else. I'm one of the head culprits. We always got something, right? Got too many shoes, need another closet, right? Jay said, convert that whole guest bedroom into a shoe closet, right? Because we always getting and we always buying. That's what we do. We get complacent. We get used to the way that we walk. We get used to just going to work and paying bills. We get used to just coming into the church and going home. We get used to getting up at 4 o'clock and praying sometimes, and sometimes we don't, right? But when you think about that, we get complacent. And what I'm going to preach about is the evolution process, because we serve a God who is not going to allow a saint to be complacent.
That's right.
We serve a God that's going to demand more of you. You're not going to be able to just be complacent. See, you came into the church one way, but he's not going to allow you to stay the same way. You have to keep evolving. You have to become something new. Amen. Amen. Oh, let me hear it. Amen. Praise God. So, Joseph's brothers were jealous of him because his father favored him, but they didn't understand the anointing that was on him. I want you to think about that for a moment, right? You got something that's just embedded in you. Everybody always has something to say about it. She came to me, she said, I was sitting in the lunchroom, and they was talking about how church people is holier than now. And she says, I just listened to them, I let them get it out.
Right?
I was listening, I was ear hustling, I was being nosy, right? But then when she had the opportunity to just speak, what did you tell her?
I told her, you have to be the example. You have to be the example. If you want other people to see God and follow God, you have to be the example so they know how to do
it. So what she just said in like 3 seconds to this young lady who was judging the anointing and the giftings on those who choose to walk upright. See, there's things that's going to come against you when you stand on something. When you stand on a purpose in life, there's things that's going to come against you when you stand for something. Amen. So the moment you say, I'm going to stand on this, and then there's something that's going to come against it. When you say, I'm not going to walk in this or walk in that, there's something that's going to come against it. When you say that you're holy, guess what? Unholiness is going to come against you. Because there's no... hallelujah, I'm preaching right now. You see, God is not going to allow you to stay in the same place when there's things that's in you that need to be removed. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 37, verse 26, the Bible says that, and I'm reading from the Amplified, Joseph, his brothers, because they were jealous of him, they wanted him removed, right? Because they didn't understand the anointing on him. You got the people who wish you was gone because you got an anointing on you, right? Here we go. I'll see y'all next week. They don't want to be around you because what's in you.
That's right.
They don't want to be around you because what's in you. But the Bible says that his brothers, they were jealous of him. And so when you look at it, this is the beginning of his evolution. He's a young man who has a spiritual gifting and an anointing that's on him. He's basically in the beginning stages of becoming a prophet. And the Lord is showing him basically dreams and visions that are prophetic in his very nature. But because they don't understand what's transpiring in his life, instead of moving with it, they begin to bicker and to come against it. They begin to complain. They begin to murmur. They begin to harden their hearts towards him. And ultimately, they sell him into slavery. Right? So the Bible says that Judah said to his brothers, what do we gain if we kill him, if we cover up his blood for murder? Come, let us instead sell him to the Ishmaelites, the Midianites, and not lay our hands on him, because he's our brother and he's our flesh. The Bible says, so his brothers listened to him, they come in agreement, and then as the Midianite and Ishmaelite traders were passing by, the brothers pulled Joseph up out of the pit, and they lifted him out of the pit, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and so they took Joseph as captive into Egypt. Right? So right off the bat, when I read this story, I'm like, Lord, did he have to go into the pit just to get to the blessing? Why did he have to go into the pit? Why is he sold into slavery? Why is he going through what he's going through? Am I making sense? Because I would think, I mean, he's an innocent kid. He's just having a dream. He just said, you know, I had a dream that y'all was bowing down to me. He can't control what happens when he sleep. Right. He can't control it. You go to sleep and have a dream, you wake up, it's prophetic. You can't get mad because they said something that might concern you, that might be reading your mail. I mean, that's just the nature of God, right? But why did he have to go into the pit? And so as I'm preparing a sermon, and I'm not going to even lie to you, I just sat down, threw the notes on the paper, and then I started reading the scripture, and the Lord started giving it to me as I was just kind of going over it and glancing over it. When they threw him in the pit, the Lord began to speak to me. He said that began the process of his evolution. You see, what happens is when people come into the sanctuary, they come into church, they want to go from point A to point Z. But they don't realize that they have to evolve into B. They have to evolve into C. They can't get to where you are right off the bat. You can't be married and have a husband if you don't know how to be a wife. You can't be married and have a wife if you don't know how to be a husband. You got to evolve into that position. So here we have this young man who's having dreams, he's seeing visions and things of that nature, and they sold him into slavery. And the Lord says, you know what's transpiring now is his gifting and his anointing has to evolve. It went from him just seeing it, but now I'm going to take him through a process where he can learn to understand it. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. See, when you look at it, when he was sold into slavery, in essence, he was imprisoned. Everybody say imprisoned.
Imprisoned.
Right? But he was imprisoned because his freedom was taken from him. Yes. And he was forced to do whatever his master told him to do. Right? That was his first prison. See, the first prison is symbolic to you and I, is that when we was tangled up outside in the world and we was promiscuous and we was doing everything that we knew. See, God first had to let you know that you was a sinner. And then when he declared to you and made you know that you was a sinner, he had to do something with that sin. So he gave you an answer by remitting that sin and placing the spirit in you so that now you can start the evolution process. Not stay back in the baptism because that happened, but you got to evolve because there's more in you that he still has to get. You see, you can get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, but the book doesn't stop right there. Somebody asked me, they say, how's your relationship with God? I say, I'm a career student.
All right. Amen.
I'm a career student. What's that mean? That means that as long as you walk with God, you're going to be a student of God. As long as you walk with God, you're going to evolve with God. The moment you step away from God, you're going to go to a prison. And when you go to the prison, guess what? That prison is to bring you back to God to start the evolution process all over again. Ooh, hallelujah.
Praise God.
His first imprisonment, I thought, okay, he got sold into slavery. He's taken away from his family. Okay, Lord, that would suck. That would suck because we cry about the little stuff.
Right.
For real, I do too, for real. We trip about the smallest stuff, but this joker was taken away from his family and just given to a whole bunch of strangers, and he just had to figure it out, right? See, I don't want to listen to my mom. What happens if somebody just kidnaps you and takes you somewhere else and you just got to learn and abide by their rules, but you didn't want to listen to your mom or your dad who was telling you what to do that was right? You know what I'm saying? It's always, you know, we think the grass is greener on the other side, but it's not always green. Amen? Sometimes that grass is burnt like Texas in 90-degree weather. Right? In Genesis chapter 39, verse 1, the Bible says that Joseph was taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the royal guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites. So, this is the thing. Let me keep reading. He says, so the Lord was with Joseph, and though he was a slave, he became successful, he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to prosper. Everything he did, he caused to prosper and to succeed in his hand, so that Joseph pleased Potiphar and found favor in his sight and served him as his personal servant. And he made Joseph overseer of his house and put all that he had on in Joseph's. He was already close to being number two. Right? So when I was going over, I was just reading the story and I was like, okay, Lord, how does this correlate to us right now? He says, this is where most of the church is at. See, the Bible says that Joseph was a servant to Pharaoh, and he was number two, and he was successful. Amen?
Amen.
He was successful. He had money. I'm correlating it to now. He had money in the bank. Woo. Some of y'all, how many of you got some money in the bank? I'm just curious. Go on, lift him up. I want to see. I ain't going to ask you for none. Just... Jesus. Got some money put up? Raise your hand. It's okay. It's going to be all right. I'm not going to ask for none. I promise. Right? But he said, most of us are there. You're already successful. You already have good careers. You already make money. You already have the car that you want. You already have the house that you want. See, that's what he said when I was going through that. He said, most of the church, and I'm not just talking about pure apostolic works. I'm talking about the church in general. Most of the church gets to that point and they stay there. Oh, I'm comfortable. I got everything that I need. I'm good. I can buy what I want. I can do what I want. I can go where I want. I can get what I want to get. And most of us stay there. And we say, you know what? God is blessing me because I got this and I got that. And I don't have no worries because I can take care of what I need to take care of, and so on and so forth. And we think that that's the end of the story because we get complacent in the blessings of God, not realizing that the evolution still has to happen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's the second prison. So you don't look at it as a prison, but prison is something that causes movement to stop. See, when you're in prison, you're not moving around. You're not doing nothing. You're not going to and fro. You're going where they tell you to go. You're doing what they tell you to do. You see, that's what imprisonment is. See, you put yourself in prison when you stop evolving, when you think that you've arrived and you think that everything's together. So you put yourself in that own prison mentally, thinking that I'm where I need to be, and you're not. So what has to happen? The Lord had to send him back to prison. Pharaoh's wife made a pass at him. And when she made a pass at him, he was loyal to Pharaoh and he wouldn't touch her. Amen. He did the right thing. When he tried to get away from her, his garment was ripped. She had it. She told him and said, this man did this to me, blah, 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 blah. She lied. She destroys his character. I'm just kind of getting through it. I'm almost close to being finished. Right? She says, this is him. This is the man that did it. And so he was cast back into a physical prison this time. Now, see, I stopped here for a minute because I thought, man, that's cold. You went from a pit to a slave to successful, number two already technically, all the way back into a dungeon. You in a prison, right? So I was just in the back room. I said, Lord, that don't make sense to me. Like, I get what you was trying to do. We knew that you was using Joseph because we read the story, amen? Most of you read the story of Joseph. Or you saw the movie, right? They took a few elements out in the movie, but you know. But when you think about it from this perspective, right? How much does a young man have to take in order to obtain his calling or his gifting or to walk and to get where God wants him to go, right? So I'm thinking to myself, like, Lord, his brothers dissed him. He was sold into slavery. He had to go work in somebody else's household, in strangers' household. And those same strangers turned their backs on him. And then they threw him in a dungeon. And now he's in a dungeon. And they're in the dungeon. He meets basically two men that have dreams. He interprets the dream. One of them was really what I want to highlight. And that particular dream was where basically it was going to be a famine. Right? It was going to be a famine that was coming. And he understood it. He had the understanding. And see, I used to think back in the day, okay, that's the reason why he went there, because he had to meet those two men there who were in jail because God was going to speak the dream and give it to him. So he had to be there for that divine appointment. So I thought I understood. But then the Lord began to speak to me when I was in the back room back there, and I knew it was the Holy Ghost because I never even looked at it from this perspective. I said, Lord, why did you allow him to go back to prison? And he said, because he hadn't evolved yet.
Wow.
He wasn't where he needed to be.
Wow.
See, he was okay and he was successful, but when the time came and the famine came, his heart wasn't going to be right towards his brother. When it was time for the famine, his heart wasn't going to be ready to receive. His heart wasn't going to be ready to be able to take care of the harvest. His heart was not in the right place in order for him to take care of his family the way that God was intending for him to do it. So he had to send him back to the cave. He had to send him back to the prison. He had to lock him up so that he could sit there and think. And then I said, okay, Lord, you couldn't have just told him that. Why still, Lord, give me a little bit more? And then I start thinking about people who go to the penitentiary. And they got pen pals. And there's a common thing that's in letters. I've read letters from inmates that send them to females or vice versa. And the common thread in all of them is this. When I get out, I'm going to marry you. When I get out, I'm going to go to church with you. I'm going to do right. Look, some of y'all, they don't want to say amen to that. It's a common thread. I'm going to get out. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get out. I'm going to get my life together. I'm going to get out. I'm going to serve God. They start doing all of these things, right? They start saying all of these things because their position is figuring them out. See, I'm in prison. I can't do nothing. So I'm looking to God to help me so that he can give me something in here so that I can somehow find my way out there so that I can start evolving again only to come out and regress and go back. But see, the thing with Joseph was this. While he was in there, he had to be in the prayer meeting with God on a constant. Why? Because he still had to evolve. He had to be something different. You see, while he was in prison, is where the Lord was breaking him. And while he was in prison, is where the Lord was softening in his heart. When he was in prison, it was the Lord was saying, here, listen, I need you to, hallelujah. Because when you get out, you're going to have compassion. When you get out, you're going to have to be able to go and to take care of your family. When you get out, your heart has to be right. Saints, when you get out of prison, you've got to be ready to go. Because when revival comes, he's going to need you to have your heart right. He's going to need you to, he's going to need you to be in position. Because if your heart ain't right, then you're not going to be able to supply what they're going to need. Amen. Time is this short. My daughter, I say, Dad, why you always say that? You say like it's going to come tomorrow. It could, you know, but you better stay ready instead of trying to get ready at the last minute.
Amen.
Right? This is the thing right here. Check this out. In verse 44, chapter 41, Joseph comes out of the prison. Amen?
Amen.
Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I'm Pharaoh. He tells him, you're going to be my second in command. Right? It's powerful. It's powerful. See, I started thinking about when I was in church, when I first came in, I got saved and I became a good servant. Everything was good. You know, everything was fun. Church was great. You know what I'm saying? Then we got complacent. Then the Lord had to shake us all up again. And then we went into a different type of prison. This prison was the persecution of people. And then after we get through the persecution of people in that prison, and then the Lord says basically that thing led to the next because you have to evolve in order to learn how to deal with people. You see, when you get your feelings hurt, you get messed up, then you know how to deal with people when the time comes. So you have to deal with that and for us to evolve to even start a ministry. It's the evolution of a saint.
Right?
Right?
Right.
It's a process. But Pharaoh calls Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him the wife Asenath, right? So I said, there has to be some powerful meaning behind that name. I never stopped to look. And then when you pull it up in the original Hebrew context, do you know that it doesn't give you a definition of it? It tells you it comes from this word or whatever, and so on and so forth. But when you go out on Google and you start researching what different people call that name, stand with me. I want you to check this. I told you I was going to be quick. Look at this. Zaphnath-Paaneah. Everybody say that. Zaphnath.
Zaphnath-Paaneah.
Paaneah. This is what it means. There was never agreement between scholars of what this name meant, but this was what the name meant in totality. Y'all ready? the support of life.
Wow.
He became the life support.
Wow.
He became the life support.
Wow. Praise God.
He became a life support.
Praise God.
He became what they were going to need. They needed to depend on him. He became the life support. Another definition, the revealer of mysteries. He had understanding of the things that people couldn't understand. And the last definition was Savior. See, you have to evolve. We have to evolve. I have to evolve. I can't stay the same. You can't stay the same. Why? Because in order for you to obtain the status of a Savior, in order for you to be the life support to somebody that's dying, you have to evolve and be in position. You can't save somebody and you're not evolving. You have to evolve. You have to change. You have to come up for God to make you number two in the kingdom. You see, the thing is Joseph, he made it to number two by Egypt. But see, you got God living inside of you. You're already number two. But before he can give you access to that power and that authority that's in you, he got to know that he can trust you with it.
That's right.
So when you go into that trial or that test and you back in the pit, don't try to get out. Don't run from God. You run to it and you say, Lord, I got to get this right this time. I can't keep going through this. I'm tired of going through it. I've got to get this right this time.
Amen.
Because I understand that there's an anointing that's in me. I've got to get it right. You've got to get it right. We have to keep evolving. Let's raise our hands right now and just pray the Holy Ghost. I know some of you, it might not be registered what I'm trying to convey, but I pray that you take it back into a prayer closet. You might think that you made it to that point. But I promise you, I speak from experience. When you think that you're in a good place, the Lord will show you that you're not. When you think that you dealt with some things, the Lord will show you that you haven't. When you touch some things in the compartment and don't want to touch it, God has a unique way bringing it out. But see, here's the thing.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The longer you run from it, the Lord will bring it to you. But when he brings it to you, he puts it in your face and you can't get away from it. You gotta look that thing in the face every day. And you gotta make a decision that I'm gonna choose this anointing, I'm gonna choose life, I'm gonna choose each and every day, each and every moment.
Yes, Lord.
And it might be a battle. It may be a test. But you gotta fight each and every day. Because you wouldn't deal with it then. So now you got to deal with it now. But guess what? The moment you start dealing with it, there's an elevation. There's a blessing on the other end. There's elevation on the other end. You see, that's when God says, okay, you're ready to be the number two. But you got to evolve. See, I'm speaking to you young people, too. You got to evolve. You can't stay the same way that you are today.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's even harder for you now because there's more that comes against you than it comes against your elders and those that have gone through things that they try to tell you about. There's more that you have access to. But you got to make the choice to evolve.
Amen.
You got to make the choice that I'm going to stand today and God, where you have me today, I'm going to overcome where you have me today. So when you evolve and you put me back in the prison, and Lord, if you sell me into slavery, if you sell me into an imprisonment physical, Lord, I'm still going to thrive. I'm still going to evolve because I'm going to learn whatever it is that you want me to learn while I'm in this position.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Because you have to learn to understand what God has given you.
Amen.
You have to understand that the power that lies within you, the power And that God that dwells in you is the most powerful thing that an individual can possess.
Amen.
But if you don't evolve and learn how to use it, I'm not talking about just being able to come and read somebody's mail. I'm talking about when the Lord shows you something, you know the wisdom and how to deal and how to manage that word. You understand that here, I got to take this back to you, Lord. And what's the wisdom in behind this word? Is it a word of prayer? Is it a word that needs to be given? You see, Joseph, what he did was he gave words out of timing. If he would have had wisdom and he could have said, you know what, I had this dream, and just relegated it to his daddy and said, Dad, I had this dream. And he never said nothing to his brothers. He may not have had that problem because he would have had the wisdom to understand that he was going to speak things that they couldn't receive. They wasn't ready for it. So they took the word, they trampled upon it, and they started his evolution because God said it that way. But if he would have had the wisdom of God earlier on, he would have knew, I can't tell them this. I would have to withhold it. But the Lord knew what time it would be revealed. And he knew exactly what he needed to do. That's where the other part of the story comes in. He had to be in that prison to hear that word so that he can give the interpretation, because he had walked with God long enough. He had developed with God long enough. He had evolved. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we close, I thank you for what you share. I thank you for what you're doing in my life. I thank you for what you're doing in this church. It's not always easy, but Lord, I thank you for it. Sometimes it hurts, but thank you for it. We gotta evolve. Thank you, Jesus. The altars are open if you want to make your way. If you want to make your way to the front, you need to pray. You want to spend time with God, or you need prayer, make your way to the front. Those of you, as the Lord lays on your heart to pray, make sure he lays on your heart to pray. Feel free to pray for those that need it. In Jesus' name.